Hello and welcome to another episode of the World Athletics Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow and today's guest is Austrian heptathlete Ivona Dadic. Ivona, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. I just want to start off with this year. It's been a really crazy year for everybody, but you've actually won Austrian Athlete of the Year this year. How has it been for you?
Well, as you said, it's been a crazy year for everyone. And if I look at my sport life, it was a quite good year. It didn't start off really good because I injured myself in Doha last year. And I had this injury till February. So I wasn't able to train, but train properly. But when I started to train, the lockdown came. But in general, I was taking this year and I was okay, I'm going to take the best out of it. And training really hard. And in the end of the day, it paid really off with becoming the award for Austrian Athlete of the Year, which was very special.
Yeah, and I saw one of the most interesting things that you did do was the heptathlon in 1 hour. Can you tell me a bit about that and how that happened?
Well, that was a crazy one. I never did something like this before. I mean, we're used to train really hard, and heptathlon in 2 days is tough as well. But this, doing 7 events in 1 hour was something really new. On one side, it was challenging the body, but on the other side, it was difficult to put those 7 events in 1 hour. You don't have a lot of time. We tried to put on a really good schedule where I have a little bit rest before the next event. So the first 3 events went really good and really fast, and I wasn't really tired. But then the 200 came, and usually we have a night in between. For a good reason, because after 200, your legs are really empty. You feel like jelly. And well, we said if we want to do a good heptathlon, I have to run a fast 200. So went out of the blocks and run a really good 200. And then 10 minutes later, I had to do long jump. And I was still breathing and my body was all over the place. So when I was standing in the runway, I was just trying to focus to jump into the sandpit and to get a good jump in. And my legs felt really tired, jelly, really empty. And then as well at the javelin, the same. You have to block to get a good throw in, and with tired legs, it's not really possible. But in the end of the day, it was a really good competition. I enjoyed it somehow. It was tough, and it was crazy. Something new. I have to say, I'm not sure if I'm doing this again.
I don't blame you. What was the final 800 meters like?
So I was at the javelin, and they told me you have 2 more minutes to start the 800 meters. So you have to start the 800 meter before this 1 hour ends. And I was usually you get really nervous before the 800, and I didn't even have time to get nervous. I was running to the 800 meter start just to start. In the end, I think I could have run a little bit faster, but I didn't know how my body will react after those 6 events in 1 hour. So I was running a bit too slow the first lap, but I have to say in the end, I was just happy to finish and to have a good result.
And what was your other highlight of the season?
I would say one of the highlights was this 1 hour heptathlon, and then the normal heptathlon I did in Götzis in the end of August at the national championships. I was in a really good shape, and I was okay, I'm going for this competition. Even there were no other girls I could compete against each other. It was our local heptathletes, and they're younger than me. So I went out to Götzis, and I was really ready to go. And then when the competition started, we had so bad weather. It was raining the whole 2 days. Really, it was so bad. It just got worse and worse. And but I was telling myself, I'm just going through this competition and trying to make the best out of it. And in the end, I scored 6,419 points, which was really good. If you would have been there and seen this weather, it was really, really good for these conditions we had over there. So I would say those 2 competitions definitely were my highlights this year.
You talked about Gotsis there, and obviously it's such a big part of Austrian athletics. When was the first time you competed in Gotsis?
It was 2012. I competed for the first time in Gotsis when I was 18. And it was something really special competing there. You know, I was I knew Gotsis from like TV, watching like my idols competing there. And then I was like there as well, competing with them, which was really, really special.
And who were your idols when you were younger?
Well, one of them were Caroline Kluft, the Swedish heptathlete, and then as well Jessica Ennis.
So when you were younger, how did you find the heptathlon? Because it's such a complicated event. Were you always just really active when you were younger?
Well, I was always really active. But when I started athletics, I started as a runner. So I was running cross country and like long distances. And I think I pretty soon realized that's not something I want to do. I mean, I think I wouldn't be a good runner, like a long distance runner. So we tried like everything out, and like we tried the track and like the field events out. So we realized I'm pretty talented in every event, and then we decided like doing heptathlon. And when I started doing it, I just fell in love with it and I never stopped.
So yeah, going back to 2009, your first international competition, what was that experience like competing against the best in the world for your age?
It was really cool because you used to compete in Austria like against the local people, I would say, and then you come to the big stage where you have got like so many athletes from so many different countries. But I tried to enjoy it, and I finished 10th, I think it was. So I was quite happy with that. And from there on, I was like, okay, I want to do this more often. I want to compete at those competitions more often. And it gave me some extra motivations for next years.
Yeah, and you improved pretty quickly because you ended up competing at the 2012 Olympic Games. Was that always a target for you?
Going to Gotsis in 2012 was, for me, was a target to qualify for the Olympics. But I think everyone else was quite surprised that I did, because my PB before was, I think, something around 5.5, and I had to do 5.9 to qualify. And me and my coach sit down together before the competition, and we were like, okay, you need this and this and this to qualify. And in the end, I was like, really, at every event, I was doing the exact thing I needed for. And then it came to the 800, and they told me like, okay, you have to run 2.11 to qualify. And I was so nervous. I never, like, at the 800 before they start, I nearly false started. And usually you don't do that before the 800, and 800. But I was so nervous. And yeah, in the end, I ran 2:10:60 or something and qualified, managed for to qualify for the as the first athlete in heptathlon in Austria to go to the Olympics. And by then I was only 18, so I was over the moon for a week. No, it was great.
That must have been crazy, that final 800 meters. But what was it like to actually go to an Olympic Games? It's the pinnacle of athletics.
Before, I competed at youth and junior championships, and then I skipped like a European or world championships. I went through to the Olympics. So competing in London was very special. It was like, as an athlete, you always dream about Olympic Games, and you dream about how it would be. And I have to say, everything I dreamed about was London. It was just perfect. The crowd was perfect. The competition was perfectly organized. And I just enjoyed every second of it. It was the best Olympics.
And what was it like being in the athletes' village around all these superstars?
Well, when we moved into the athletes' village, you know, then you see like many athletes and from many different sports. And you see like all the good athletes. So I was like, oh, there is one. And my coach was like, keep calm, just concentrate on your competition. But it was really something really cool and special.
Yeah, and you continue to progress quite quickly throughout your career. I mean, in 2016, you had a huge competition where you actually, in Amsterdam, where you broke the Austrian national record. And I know that ended up not being ratified, but tell me a bit about breaking the national record there.
The record was mine before as well. So I was just going for a new PB, and before Amsterdam, I tried to qualify in Götzis, but the competition didn't go well at all. So we went to Amsterdam and said, okay, I have to qualify for the Olympics. And then I just scored really good and finished a third, which was something amazing. It was my first big medal at the seniors. So yeah, I did a medal. I qualified for the Olympics, and it was just a great competition. So this year was really good, and I had a good feeling going to Rio.
And what was it like winning your first major senior medal for the heptathlon?
It was special. I was going through. I started really good, and after the first day, after 200, I placed third, I think. And going home, I told my coach, okay, now I don't want to lose anything anymore. So I had to make sure the next day goes good. And after the after the javelin, I knew now I'm pretty much safe for the third place. And I actually could enjoy the 800 for the first time, I think, because when you know you're doing good, and then the last 100 meter usually get really tough, but I was enjoying them because I knew now I've got a medal, and I did good, so I really enjoyed it.
With the heptathlon, like particularly at the major championships, like at the Olympics and stuff, there's such a nice camaraderie in the decathlon as well with all the athletes, because you're going through all these events with each other. What's it like, I mean, breaking between events when you're just in the core room waiting?
Well, I mean, we're 2 days together and competing against each other. And when it comes to the restroom, I mean, everyone is focused because we're at big competitions. So there is not much time to, you know, to talk or chat to each other. But we know each other for so long time. So obviously you do chat in between. But it's like still in the end of the day, everyone is focused and just tries, you know, to recover and to do good. But I do think it's different than in the single events, because they don't have that much time together. So it's different, but still we do focus on that, what we have to do.
And what's the lap of honor like at the end? Because everybody does it, no matter if you win a medal or not.
Well, that's the best thing about heptathlon, I would say. After those 2 days, running the lap of honor together and just being happy that everyone made it through. And yeah, you just enjoy the lap of honor. So for me, it's like the best thing after heptathlon, going with the girls. Yeah, the one lap.
That's cool. Going forward a little bit, you continue to get more senior medals. So at the World Indoors in 2018, that was a particularly good performance from you, because that was your first global medal, not just like a European or whatever. What was that experience like, winning your first global medal?
So in 2018, I knew I was in good shape. And the year before at the European Indoors, I took the silver medal as well. So going in this competition, I was like, okay, I want to do good, and if everything goes good, I'm able to medal. So I was just focused and like doing event by event. And after the long jump, I knew I'm gonna medal if it will be silver or bronze, but I knew it's like kind of safe. And then we had the 800. It was quite a tactical race. Everyone just wanted to save his medal somehow. So I think we lost some points over there. But in the end of the day, at big competitions, you don't worry about points. You worry about, you know, the place you're going to get. And yeah, finishing second was unbelievable and special. The victory ceremony was really nice. I had my family over there, my coach, my team, everyone was happy. I was just grateful standing at the podium. And yeah, we had a tough competition, but we had a tough night after as well. We were celebrating all together, which was really good.
It's difficult as athletes, because you don't really get to celebrate and have fun and party a lot of the time, because you have to go to bed early and recover and that kind of thing. What was it like just letting loose with your friends and family?
It was really cool, because we went out like with the team and went one of the clubs over there. And then there was Katarina Johnson-Thompson with our team, Kevin Meyer with his team. And in the end, we just celebrated all together. So it was a big party and it was really good.
Good. And then going forward into 2018, there's a lot more domestic competition in Austria for you, because there's obviously Verena Pruner and Sarah Lager now as heptathletes. What's it like having a few Austrian athletes there with you in these competitions?
Yeah, it's different, because before it was always just me, and now we've got I've got the other girls as well, which is good. But at the competition, you know, it doesn't matter if it's an Austrian girl or a German girl or whatever. You just focus. But I mean, it is nice to have some teammates over there, somebody you know better. But at the start line, doesn't matter. You just, you know, stay focused and just want to do your own thing.
Going through into Doha, obviously, last year, it's a really big event which everybody was targeting in 2019. And unfortunately, it didn't go the way you'd planned. Tell me a bit about the build up to that and what you were expecting.
Well, as Doha was really late in the year, it was just started in October. My coach and me, we were like, okay, we're going to focus on Doha and take everything out of training before. So I competed in Ratingen pretty much out of training. So I was really tired before, and I was like, okay, I'm not even sure if I should start. But we're like, okay, we focused on Doha, so we're going to do everything out of training, and I have just to take what I get. And so the competitions before I had were good, but not like really, really good. So because we wanted my shape to be the best in Doha. And then just before Doha, I got in a really good shape. I was really ready. I felt like, okay, now I'm going for it. And going to Doha was like, okay, if I do good and like do a good competition out of this form I have right now, I'm just going to score good. And like, yeah, I can fight for medals. And even on the day the competition was, I felt really good. I had a good warm up. And then we went into the stadium. I felt great. And then after 8 seconds, I just got like a sharp pain in my left leg. And, you know, I automatically knew it's over. I had to stop because I couldn't carry on running. And, yeah, that was quite tough, because the competition didn't even start, but it was over for me. And I was out. I had to, watch them competing. Without even being able to fight for anything. And it was quite tough.
The heptathlon and decathlon are so brutal, because if you even, I know it was the first event for you, but if you mess up in just one event, then that's the whole competition is gone. How do you mentally deal with those setbacks as an athlete?
If a competition goes good and then you have one event not going that good, it's a little bit easier, because, you know, you focus just to carry on the good energy into the next event. But I think it's just important to always calm down, focus again, restart, and just go into the next event. Doesn't matter what happened before, because in the end of the day, we have to have 7 good events. And I had a few competitions where one event didn't go good at all, but then the next one went even better. And in the end, it was a great competition. So I learned a lot from that. So never like let yourself getting down because one event, because in the next event, you just can do better. And in the end, you can still score really good. So I think it's really important to just, you know, focus from event to event and don't let a bad result influence on the others.
Going forward, obviously, Doha, you would have hoped that Tokyo would have been around the corner in 2020 for you to maybe have another go at it. Did the fact that it was delayed by a year, did that help you a little bit because you were still recovering from your injury?
I would say yes, because I could start training in the end of February because of my injury. And then we had our first lockdown in March. So I couldn't do like the technical work. And I just, when they said it's going to be a year later, I was telling myself, okay, that's a chance just to, you know, get in the training I maybe couldn't do while I was injured. But looking back at this summer, I think I would have been in shape if the Olympics would be this year. But anyway, I'm just taking it as a chance just to have one more year to prepare and just to be in a better shape next year.
Yeah, it's so difficult as an athlete because even when you do get injured, sometimes you can train really hard and you can come out that next summer and still smash your personal best. It's so hard to sort of predict what will happen. But looking forward into 2021, what are your goals? Are you planning to do the indoor season at all?
Yeah, I'm planning an indoor season because I think it's always good to have some competitions just to see where you are right now and if training is going good as you want it. So we are planning to do the European indoors in the beginning of March, and I'm doing some competitions at the nationals, so at home. And after that, I'm planning to start in Götzis in the end of May, and then just training and having some local competitions in Austria, where I just prepare for the Olympics, and hopefully then mid of July we're gonna fly out to Tokyo.
And what's your goal for Tokyo, or do you not want to say?
Well, I can say, because I just want to train hard, and the most important is just to stay healthy. And if I stay healthy and train hard enough, I think I'll be able to fight for some medals. But there are a few girls out there who want to fight for a medal, so I think to keep up with them, I just have to train really hard, and then in the end of the day I have to do a really good competition over there, and everything else we will see over there.
And do you plan to have your family come to Tokyo as well?
Yeah, and there are quite a lot going to Tokyo, hopefully, because we had to order the tickets, I think, last year already. And I think it's around 22 people going to Tokyo. I've got a huge wow. family and friends, so they really want to support me. And yeah, it's many of us, so fingers crossed everything goes good, and they're flying out to Tokyo as well.
Well, that's amazing. In athletics, people often say, even though it's an individual sport, it takes a village to kind of raise an athlete. And that's incredible, having 22 people there. That's really cool.
Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of people, I think, to, the family, your friends, then your own team, your coach, your physios, your doctors. I think it's not just the athlete, it's so many people behind them.
Definitely. Well, exciting times ahead for you then, hopefully. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and best of luck as well for 2021.
Thanks a lot.
That's it for this episode of the World Athletics Podcast, but thank you very much for listening. If you can't get enough from the world of athletics, you can follow us at World Athletics on all social media platforms.